have some things imparted into your lives today. But he's sending me out. I'll get to travel out of a good airport in Denver. You know, you can go everywhere nonstop from there. And I like that. How many don't like layovers? But it beats driving, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So I'll get to do that. But then my wife and we're going to have a team come. And we're going to raise us up a church in the town of Castle Rock, Colorado. And so be believing with us. Because it's just the direction of the Lord. Now, my wife actually pastored our church for the whole last year. We were in Buffalo. And wish she could be here today to see you. And you'd like her. She's prettier than me. No doubt about it. And I want to congratulate you on your building. I think this is beautiful. I love stained glass and stuff like that. And so I'm sure, I know you've done a lot of work. I'm sure there's probably more projects that you haven't gotten to. It's just been a time. And so we want you to know we're happy for you for that. Want you to know also that our heart's been with you. I know it hasn't been the easiest several months, you know, for your church family and things like that with different things. But want you to know that our prayers and our heart's been with you. And can just see that the grace of God is strong upon everybody. And you're doing good and going to the other side, aren't we? All the way over to the other side. Yeah. Yeah. So glory to God. Pray with me before we get into things. Father, thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you so much for their lives, for your plan for their lives. Thank you for your plan for this church, for your plan for this town. It's our prayer today, Father, that you increase us towards that end. Help us, Father, to make progress in our lives today. Teach us things. Open up our hearts to truth that sets free, that we might make progress and go further in you, be more effective in our Christian lives and walk. And we thank you and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, you agree with that? Why don't you say amen?
Amen.
How many have your scriptures with you, your Bibles? Good. Why don't you open them to the 14th chapter of John and we'll get into some stuff. Won't wonder if I could I bring this down here? Is that all right? Brother, maybe just help me. You got it. You got it. Because if I'm up here, you know, and I spit, it won't hit you. But I want to hit you. Thank you so much, gentlemen. And I'll say right off the bat, if you're visiting here today, don't judge this church based on me. You may not like me. Come back when the pastor's ministering and get mad at him. No, don't get mad at him. Come back when the pastor's ministering. I know you'll like that. All righty. And I'll say this too. If I offend you today, don't leave the church because of me. Wait till the pastor's preaching. Get offended by him if you want. And hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to get with it too. I always had this problem. Nobody would turn my Bible when I would tell everybody else where to turn. And I'd be talking like I just was and then come back and have to turn it. John 14. When I go out and minister different places, the Lord has given me an assignment, a general assignment. And what I mean by that is if he doesn't tell me anything differently, I always usually go down this, down a certain path. And that path is this, teaching and ministering along the lines and even demonstrating along the lines of the things of the Spirit of God. Because don't you know that there are things of the Spirit of God? And we find this, that in so many churches, and I'm not saying that's the case here, but it's just true around the body of Christ, that in so many churches it's a great need to bring light regarding those things, because oftentimes people don't know a whole lot in that area, what God wants to do, how he wants to manifest himself in this day. Well, don't get too excited about that right now, because he gave me a different assignment for here today. I was on an airplane coming to the area, flying into Buffalo, oh gosh, about 3 or 4 days ago, maybe more than that. And I was just kind of feeding on the word, you know, and I had a scripture just come right. Have you ever heard that term, just came off the page? You ever had a verse just come off the page at you? In other words, the Lord spoke something to you about that. And I did. I had that happen. If it's a scripture, gosh, I've read it probably hundreds of times over the years, and you probably know it just real well yourself. And I don't know, Pastor, how it works with you, but with me, I just started preaching that scripture right there on my airplane. You ever read the verse and you just start preaching it, you know? And I guess I was preaching it to myself. And then they told us it was time to put all our electronic devices away. And I was reading my Bible on my iPad, you know, my little computer here. That's why my face lights up if I stand right here. So I was reading that, and so they told me to put it away, and I was like, well, that was good. Thank you, Lord, for that. And all of a sudden, it just hit me, that's for today. That's for this church. You know, I hadn't started praying about today yet, and it just came up, and so I'm going to just give you what blessed me. Amen. If you want to listen in and see if it blesses you, well, I recommend it. Amen. Amen. You know, all the word's good.
Amen.
All the word's good.
Amen.
All the word's good. Thank you, Master. John chapter 14. Now, right here in the first verse, this is Jesus speaking to us. And he says some words, and I want you to hear it as though you hadn't heard it before, and I want you to listen to it as it is the Lord speaking to you. And he says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." Did you get that? You might say, "I know that." Yeah, that's what I don't want you to do. Don't listen to it like you know it. Hear it like you've never heard it. The Lord says, I'm going to say it again, six words. Let not.
Yes, sir.
Let not. Who's he talking to?
Me.
Yeah, you. You. So we can say it this way. You let not, or don't let, your heart. Where's your heart?
Hallelujah.
Where's your heart? Now y'all pointing to your blood pump. No, that's your physical heart. That's not the heart he's talking about. The heart he's talking about is your spirit man, the inner man. And so it's the man on the inside. The man on the... Do you know that there's a man on the inside?
Yes.
Yeah. Each one of you, there's an inner you. And that's the real you. The one on the inside. Not the beady-eyed one on you. I'm sorry. Not the one that you looked at in the mirror this morning. So if you look at me like some of you are looking at me, I'm just going to call you beady-eyed. That's just the way it is. All right? Amen. You don't have to have me back, but you have to deal with me today. Praise the Lord. There's an inner man, the hidden man of the heart.
Yes.
Amen. The man on the inside. Let not your heart be what?
Troubled.
Yes. Troubled. What does it mean to be troubled? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Anybody ever been in trouble? But if you have been in trouble, what did it mean? What is trouble? What is trouble?
Full of anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety.
Worry.
But if you got in trouble, what did you do?
Worry.
You went against something.
Yes.
You messed up the peace of that place.
Right.
Is this one of those churches where y'all talk back, preach back to me and say amen? Brother doesn't like no quiet church. Trouble, distress,
yeah.
Anxiety,
uh-huh.
Lack of peace,
yes.
Unsettled.
Uh-huh.
Unsettled. Now, you don't have to go through a difficult time for that to be the case in your life.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm not preaching to, I don't want you to think that I came up with something for any one person or anything like that. If this will fit to probably everybody's life to some degree.
Okay.
Amen. Trouble. Trouble. The Bible, I started to think of some other places where the word uses the term trouble. And I realized this, that God has used the word trouble before. The Lord troubles some things. How many remember the story? We won't turn there, but in John chapter 5, where there was a crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. And it said, the scripture said that the angel of the Lord would come down at a certain season and,
yes.
And do what?
Trouble
the waters.
Yes.
So now, using that, what's the word trouble mean in that case? What did he do? Got stirred.
Yeah.
Got stirred. And then the scripture says, whosoever then, after the troubling of the water, stepped in first,
hallelujah.
Was made whole of whatever disease he had.
Yes.
Amen. And that's not a fairy tale. That's Bible. That happened. I said it happened.
Yes.
Amen. And so we understand this too, that in the Bible, all through the Bible, you probably have heard your pastor teach this, but I'm just going to say it again. All through the Bible, waters and the moving of waters are symbolic of the work and the moving of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the waters were troubled. Things were moving. And I'll tell you one thing, when the Spirit of God's moving, you want to do like that man. You want to be the first in.
Yes.
You want to jump into what God's doing,
yes.
Just as soon as you can.
Yes.
Amen. Because we understand this, friends, that when God makes movement,
yes.
Man must respond with movement,
yes.
And make a move toward him. That's when the miraculous happens. That's when the supernatural comes into manifestation. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So we understand that God will trouble some things. God will stir some things. But we know this too. The enemy also likes to trouble.
Listen.
I said, the enemy also likes to, he likes to stir some things.
Yes.
He likes to stir the waters of your heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Yes. And he'd be happy if your heart was troubled.
Come on now.
Every day of your life.
Yes.
You know what I mean by troubled? Stirred up.
Yes.
He wants you distressed on the inside. He wants you agitated on the inside.
Come on now.
He wants you unsettled. Amen. Why? Because, see, when waters get stirred and waters get troubled, what changes when you have a pool of water or a body of water and it gets stirred up? Then what's different about it?
It's unsettled.
It's unsettled. And what can you not do when it's like that? You cannot see like you could otherwise.
Right.
Glory to God. This is... Just give me a high five. Give me a high five. Thank you. All right. That's what I want. Praise the Lord. And I don't mind the other, but the high five is what I was looking for. Praise the Lord. Oh, you can't, listen now, you can't see like you were going to see.
Yes, sir.
You can't see like you would see otherwise.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that in your life you need to be able to see some things? You need to have clarity about things. God's not withholding all the plans that he has for you in your future from you. There's things he wants to reveal to you. There's things he wants to show you. And if you can't see him, friends, you're going to be at a disadvantage.
Yes.
Amen. So one way that the enemy keeps people from seeing what God wants them to see and then ultimately moving into what God wants them to move into is to keep things stirred on the inside of them, stirred up so that everything's cloudy and the clarity is not there. They can't see. We have a place where I've been staying this week. We have a lake home. Now let me just get something taken care of right away this morning. Can I? Does anybody here have a big problem with preachers being blessed? Raise your hand. If you're okay with preachers being blessed and think that's good, then you raise your hand. Okay, I'm in good company. That's enough of you. Because I didn't want to... We have a lake house, and this lake house, of course, you go right out on the dock, right out the front door, and this time of year and in the spring, the water's so clear, I can see all the way down to the bottom off of one of our docks. And off the dock, you can look down and you can see years and years ago, somebody somehow drove an old cart into the lake and it fell in. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what's attached to that cart or who's attached. I don't know if there's a horse down there. I just know that there's a big cart. And if you look down at the bottom, you can see it. But now if I just throw a rock in there, there's going to be ripples. I'm not going to be able to see like I could see. Right? But that's not so bad. But then if I take like an oar or something and get down there and stir up some dirt, I can't see anything. Is it important to be able to see? If you'll let him, the devil, every day of your life will keep the waters of your heart muddied so you can't see. But we're gonna turn that around here today a little bit. Amen. Because believers are too content to go around with a troubled heart.
Yes,
don't even realize they're doing it. And they'll take their problems and get together with their lost friends and say, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I don't know. What do I do? I just don't know what to do. And what did John say? You have an unction from the Holy One, and you just don't know what to do.
Come on.
Is that what it says?
No.
No, you have an anointing or an unction from the Holy One, and you know. You know. Praise God. So the scripture said, don't let your heart be troubled. It's your job to keep it from being troubled. It's not God's job. Amen. So what are we to do if we're not going to have a troubled heart? Let's look at the next verse, or the next part of that verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God.
Yes.
Believe in God. Now, if you have the King James, it says, you believe in God. That word used not there in the Greek. It doesn't even exist. As a matter of fact, if you cross, and I know this would bother some people, but if you cross that word out, you wouldn't be doing any harm to the Word of God. It just isn't there. It was added by the translators. It literally says this, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe God.
Yes.
Believe God.
Yes.
Believe God. Now, some folk would say, well, it's not that easy. Listen to what the Word says. Listen to what, you've been trained, haven't you? To listen to what the Word says. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe God. Turn to somebody and preach to them. Put your finger in their bony finger in their face and say, believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Friends, the person with a troubled heart is one who lives their life full of questions. The person of faith is the one who lives in the realm of answers. There are no questions with God. There are no questions in the God realm. Do you understand that? In God's world, He is not getting together some angels and said, guys, I just don't know what to do with them down in Erie. I just don't know what to do. God, that never happens. God has never had a question. And the closer you get to Him, you're getting closer to answers. And there's no such thing as somebody who spent time in His presence and got closer to Him and drew near to Him and came out confused. No, because the realm of the Spirit, the realm of God, is the realm of answers. The mental realm that so many live in here is the realm of questions. He wants to keep us, the enemy does, in his realm, which is the realm of doubting and the realm of questionings. Think about what the devil did to Eve. Remember, the Lord gave Adam and Eve some pretty simple instructions. Guys, keep the garden, multiply, be blessed, enjoy yourself. One thing,
yes, sir.
One tree,
yes, sir.
Don't touch.
Yes.
And so what did the enemy do? He came and said, has God not said, with a question?
Uh-huh.
I said, with a question.
Yeah.
He said, now, he didn't really mean that, did he?
Come on.
He must have really meant it symbolically, didn't he?
Come on.
Has the enemy ever worked like that with you, or was it just Eve?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he works like that. He works like that. No, what was he doing? He was muddying up the waters until she didn't know what was what. Right? And I'm not saying she didn't know what she was doing, but he got her into the mental realm, which is the realm of question, and not moving with clarity. But that's not us, right? You know that our minds are to be renewed. We're to input the word into our minds. We're not to just ignore our minds. I know some people think that Romans 12 says, be transformed by the removing of your mind, but it doesn't say that. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, right? So we're not to just ignore our minds and pretend they're not there. We're to do the right thing with them. Now, the world doesn't work this way that God works. In the world system, and most of us here have probably gone to school for many years, you understand that the world teaches us to gravitate towards questions, right? And the world will teach you that if you want to solve a question or you want to solve a problem, what do you focus on? You focus on the problem. You talk about the problem. You look at the problem 50 different ways. Come on, am I right? You get a study group together and you study the what? The problem. The problem. That's the way the world works. Friends, you and I are in the kingdom of God. God's kingdom and God's way is not that. God's way is here's the answer. Ignore the problem. Here's the answer. I don't mean we deny that things exist. I don't mean that we don't face things. But listen, you don't put your focus on the problem if you want to make progress with God. He says, here's the answer. Gives you his word. He says, here's the answer. Focus on the answer, not the problem. I know some are looking at me like, boy, that's irresponsible. That's Bible. That's the Bible. Listen, that's the kind of Bible that works. Well, I don't know about that. I know about it. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we've had to live that. Amen. And many here have. Praise God. Is that easy to do? Is it easy to just look at the answer and not pay attention to problems? Well, technically, yes, it's easy, but practically, we all know not always is it easy. When you have things screaming at you, right? But in God's system, if you want His help and if you want His power on the scene, you can never solve a problem by focusing solely on the problem. You must focus on the answer. Amen. If you want the answer to manifest in your life. You know, there's times, I'm just thinking of this. There's times where I've needed to find a paper in my house. I wish I was 100% organized all the time, but I'm God must have designed me to be deficient and need help because I need it. And there's times that I have gone to look for a paper and I've gone over and opened up a file cabinet. And I'm looking through that file cabinet and man, I just don't see what I'm looking for. And, you know, sometimes I get a little frustrated, but I'll close the file cabinet and then I'll look and I'll say, wait a second. I'm looking in the ministry file cabinet. This is a personal paper I need. It's not in the ministry file cabinet. It's over in my personal file. So how many understand that what I need to do is not stay there in the ministry file cabinet and look more carefully? Is that right? Well, why don't I just go through each folder another 10 times and look more? Do you understand that looking at it more carefully is not going to make it appear there? Right? Going through it for the 40th time is not going to take it out of the one and put it in the other? What are we trying to say? There's things that people are looking in their heads for, and it's not in that filing cabinet. It's in your heart. Are we making any sense to anybody today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Praise the Lord. Want to make sure you're getting this, you know.
Yeah.
No, you got to look in the right place for the answers. And with the things of God, if you check your head for something and it's not there, guess what? It's probably not there. And but what do people do now? What do people do? They keep thinking. They keep analyzing. They keep looking at the problem. Why? Because that's all we've been trained to do in school, you know. And for natural stuff, that's what you do. And that's how you solve. I mean, I've never solved a math problem by just praying in tongues. And I've hardly solved any the right way. But, you know, that's me. In the natural world, that's the formula. But I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, sitting in the intellect is not going to solve a spiritual problem. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, would you like to look at another scripture?
Yes.
Go over to Luke chapter 10. And we're just going to work this a little. I'm going to preach super duper long. But your answers in life, friends, they're not in the filing cabinet of your head oftentimes. They're in the waters of your heart. And you have to draw out of your heart.
Amen.
Luke 10, if you were in John, it's just the next book back. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've said to you already, the enemy wants to keep your heart unsettled. I'm talking to you and ministering today on how to have a settled heart. Amen. He wants you to have an unsettled heart, a heart that's always full of questions, never settled on the answers. And if you do that, you're going to end up, instead of solving your problems, you're going to end up serving your problems. And your problems, I'm telling you, they will hop in bed with you. They will get in the shower with you. You'll get in the car and you look in the seat next to you and there's your problems with you. Amen. You know what I mean? They'll go to work with you. They'll try and tell you what to order, you know, at the restaurant. They'll hang with you all day long if you let them. Got to learn to operate and live out of your heart. Now, in Luke 10, verse 38, I don't think I'm reading anything that you probably haven't heard a good number of times, and that's all right. It says this, "Now it came to pass," verse 38, "as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word."
Yeah.
"But Martha was cumbered about," that just means she was distracted. With what? She was cumbered about much serving. You see that? Much serving. How many know it is right to serve in the kingdom of God? But you don't want to, you know, it's also possible to be serving in all kinds of different areas and never receiving.
Okay.
You want to be serving and receiving.
Amen.
And you certainly don't want to get duped into thinking that you can sit there and receive year after year and never serve. You need to have some better seed in the ground for that. If you want to reap a good spiritual harvest, you better sow some good seed now. Amen. I've told, you know, when we were pastoring, I just stand up and tell the people, you know, if you've been in this church, you know, and I'm not talking about visitors, of course, but I mean, if you call this your local church and you're here and you haven't found a place to serve yet, you're not too far from sitting here in church out of the will of God. Amen. God's got a place of service and got a place of ministry for every one of his children.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Don't you dare make the pastor do all the work or I will come up here after you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've got friends.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Anyhow, she was cumbered about much serving, and she came to him. And she said, Lord, dost thou not care, or don't you care, that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered, and what did he say? Yeah, Martha, you know, you're right. I noticed you were in the kitchen all by yourself, and Mary was out here. I shouldn't have let her do that. Is that what he said?
No.
Huh? Thank you. What did he? Jesus answered, and he said to her, Martha, Martha.
Yeah.
Has the Lord ever used your name twice?
Yeah.
Hmm? Why did he have to use your name twice? Because you didn't even get calmed down on the first time. Robert, Robert. Esther, Esther. And he's done it to me. Joel, Joel. Huh. Oh. Martha, Martha. You are careful and troubled about, now listen, I want you to catch this phrase, many things. Many things. You got that?
Yeah.
Say it, many things.
Many things.
Now I want you to get another phrase. Look at this. But one thing.
One thing.
So we got many things. And what she really need?
One
thing is needful. Mary's chosen that good part. That will not be taken away from her. What are we saying? Mary was focused on the answer. Martha was focused on problems. Troubled. Troubled. Do you know? Did you notice here and have you noticed in life that people who are troubled don't keep their trouble to themselves? They want you to share. Come on, they want to share with you. Share my troubles with me. And they'll even blame other people. This is your fault. Some will even blame the pastor. Pastor, this is your fault.
Yeah.
You didn't pray for me enough.
Yeah.
I come once every other month, and what's wrong? That should be enough. And then some will just blame God.
Yeah.
Like Martha did. Lord, what's your deal? Don't you care? Everybody say, Martha, Martha.
Martha, Martha.
Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha's problem was not a lack of help in the kitchen. Martha's problem was an unsettled heart. She let her heart be troubled. Troubled. Amen. Letting your heart stay unsettled is trouble. Do you know this? We find this out that your problems, what you think are your problems, are not your problem. Your troubles are not your trouble. The problem is letting your heart stay unsettled, because I'm telling you, God has the answer for every problem.
Thank you.
Wish I could get a better amen in this.
Amen.
Thank you. Supposed to be a good church, you know. So you think you'd get some good amens. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm looking at you guys back there. Praise God. Many things, one thing. Martha was troubled about many things, but only one thing. I said only one thing was necessary. How many know many things was just not her meal preparation? This was her lifestyle. This was Martha was just, amen. And here's the point, and I will make a point at some point today. But the point is, if the enemy sees that he can get you stirred up and unsettled about one thing, then he'll start adding things to you until he's got so many things piled up upon you that you will never get to the place where you get through it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so much of the time, what needs to happen is you need to turn from the many things and find out what is that one thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's time for one thing. Why? Because many things can breed confusion. And if you can get it down to one thing, it'll bring peace. Then after you take care of that one thing and get that one thing settled, then we'll deal with that next thing. Then we'll knock out and we'll do it with better accuracy in our lives. Amen. You remember 1 Corinthians 14, I think in there, it says God's not a God of confusion, but of what? Peace. 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 So what are we talking about? Not troubled. Settled. Not questions, answers, focused on the answers. Not many things, one thing. Not confusion,
peace.
That sounded good. Y'all want to try that? Try it. Say it with me. Not troubled,
settled.
Not questions,
answers.
Not many things,
one thing.
Not confusion,
peace.
Peace. Listen, I know I haven't lived as long as others, but I've lived enough to know that there are decisions to be made in life. And for some decisions, it seems like there are 1,000 factors and questions about, you know, what are we going to do about this? And what about this? And well, what if such and such? And what if such and such? And if you're not careful, you get up from the table saying, I don't know. I don't know. And be further from the clarity than you were before. You have to stop dealing with many things. Start dealing with, get it down. What is the one main thing? Friends, so many times the one main thing is this. Lord, what are you telling me to do? We were, tell you a little testimony here, a story. We were, gosh, just in last summer, just starting to enjoy our summer, we had sensed in our hearts, my wife and I, that there was transition taking place in our lives and in our ministry, and for the purpose of ministering in a different place and different way. And we did not know at that time that we were going to be leaving the area we were in. We just knew there was some transition going on. And the Lord spoke to my spirit. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but I mean it was distinct in my inner man. And he said this to me, three words, get to Tulsa. Now there's nothing about Tulsa necessarily to where I could hear better there than I could anywhere else. It's a matter of obeying him. And of course there's great things there, you understand. But there was great things happening where we were too. But he said that to me, and he dealt with my wife about the same thing. Get to Tulsa. That was my one thing. But there were many things that immediately started begging for my attention. Come on. And all of those things, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to stir up my heart, stir the waters of my heart, and trouble me. You got just a few more minutes, right, for me to close this out, right?
Oh,
okay, okay. And I know you're not going to get mad. You already said you don't get mad at blessed preachers, but I mean, you know, we had a house and a mortgage and we had kids and we had a dog and we had schools for the kids and, you know, and they're involved in all this stuff. And
right.
And we had friends and we had family
right.
And then we had a lake home and then we had a car and we had a truck. And we had 2 Harley Davidsons and we had 9 boats. I didn't add this stuff to my, and I'm certainly not bragging. I'm just telling you. This is every single one of these things starts talking to me. And because with that lake house, we have the marina with a business attached to it and a bait business. I mean, all kinds of stuff attached to it. And then I did professional music stuff and I was doing that. And my wife had a job And she had a paycheck, and that paycheck wasn't going to go with her if she left the job, right? And then you had bills, and you had furniture. Yeah. And every one of those things I just mentioned, all of them, they all got together at once and formed the Siegel Family Mass Choir. And they began to chant. Listen, they got together, and they began to just chant. What about us? What about us? And if I listened to that,
yeah,
they started tuning up a little bit.
Yeah.
What about us? What about? And then the choir's through. What about us? What you gonna do? What about? You can't tell us in time. What about us? You're gonna lose everything. About us? It's not gonna work. So what? Now, I had to turn that station off. Come on now. I had to turn that station off because I had my one answer. What was it? I had to get to Tulsa. Thank you for putting him down front. He helps me. Appreciate that. I had to ignore. I don't mean irresponsibly ignore. I don't mean leave in the middle of the night and not tell anybody, right? I didn't even mention the church and the ministry. Sorry. That was really the biggest part of what we had that we had to deal with. I didn't even mention that, but it was a long list. And every one of those things I mentioned, they were all things the Lord had added to us over years, over time. And so you can have deep roots somewhere. I'm sure if we cleaned out your attic, it would be a big thing, you know? So we just had all that, and it was all wanting to shout at me, and I had to ignore it all. Otherwise, I couldn't focus on that one thing. If I had listened to any one of those things, I never would have been able to leave town. But you know what we did? We took one car with a trailer, my two kids, and we drove off and left it all. I said we left it all. I did put a for sale sign out in front of my house, but I mean, I couldn't let real estate tell me that I could obey God or not obey God.
Right.
I'd be serving my problem.
Right. Right.
Amen. But if I could focus on God and just obey Him,
yes,
He could help all the rest of it come to pass.
Yes.
So we moved from a what I thought was a lovely, wonderful home that the Lord had blessed us with, and my wife felt like it was her dream home, but we just drove away. And we all waved at it, going down the street. Bye-bye. All our furniture's still in it. Everything's still in it. I'm telling you, we took a U-Haul trailer that you pulled behind a car. That's all we took. Amen. And we moved. So we drove to Tulsa, you know, with that little thing. And because what did he say? Get to Tulsa. He didn't tell me how. He just said, get to Tulsa. And you know, the bank didn't say, listen, you're not going to be living there for a while. Don't worry about it. They didn't say that. And so we ain't buying anything, because we did leave all our income, because when we left all the income, nobody said, I know you're moving, but we still want to keep paying you every 2 weeks. Nobody said that. So we just left. We left. And every time I look in the mirror, it's like there's a devil looking back at me saying, stupid, stupid, stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Listen.
And I realized he was the choir director.
Yeah.
And we'd be driving down the interstate getting to Tulsa, and the tires are going on. Ba-doom, ba-doom. What about us? Shut up! Because if you're not careful, you'll get they'll start grooving, and you'll start singing along.
Yeah, yeah. Come on now.
I don't know if you've ever had like a little 3 or 4 year old kid to where you start to tell them to do something and they know what you're about to tell them. And they're so young and innocent that they don't realize that they're doing this to your face, and they just go, la, 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 la. They ever do that? That's how you got to do the devil sometimes. I mean, stuff gets talking to you. You just got to go, la, 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 la. Or even better, just dip down and go, moshoko no kari desu te karado, and just start, you know what I mean? Just start praying in other tongues. Y'all. And you know what? We even left Wegmans. Y'all have a Wegmans here. That was the hardest. I mean, the house is no problem. Wegmans, my Lord, my wife liked to, had to prop her up and pick her up. Oh my God, we're leaving Wegmans. Like, sweetheart, they're going to have food in Tulsa. I'm almost positive of it. Yeah, so we got there. We moved ourselves into a small two-bedroom apartment. My kids had our whole house in Buffalo where we were, the whole thing was custom built. It was built, the person that had it built was an architect from Holland. So you can just imagine, they put all these European touches in it, and here we are, and that's fine. And we certainly didn't start there, trust me. We started living with my father-in-law. Amen. So like Brother Creflo Dollar said, don't judge my harvest if you haven't seen my seed. All right, so praise the Lord. All right, y'all get excited too easily. Hang, get with me here. We moved us into a little two-bedroom apartment, and my kids are sharing a bedroom. My 15-year-old boy and my 12-year-old girl are sharing a bedroom, sleeping on blow-up air mattresses. And now that wants to talk to me. Instead of what about us is, what did you do? What did you know, that's a different song, but I'm not going to go there because y'all like to join in too much. But what I would do, we got there. I didn't even know what God had called me to do. He didn't say, start a traveling ministry. At that point, that wasn't until a couple months later. It was just get to Tulsa. So we get there, and I don't know what to do other than to pray. So we had some grass outside this apartment complex, and I would just, the whole day sometimes, I just go out there hour after hour and just walk up and down the grass and just pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues. And the Lord ministered to me, spoke to me. It wasn't audible, but I heard it in my spirit. He said, because you moved, I can move. And my house got sold, and now I moved out of it, and there's still some other things that are happening. And, you know, it's a process, but He is taking care of us. Amen. And He will take care of us. But is that a good illustration for you?
Yeah.
Not many things. I had to deal with the one thing. What is God saying?
Yeah, that's right.
That's your one thing. That's your answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. But how come this happened like this? Why did this end up like? Do not allow your heart to be troubled. That's living in the world of questions.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. You don't get your clarity like that. Are you with me at all today?
Amen.
Praise God. We want to live with a settled heart.
Yes.
How do you do that? You put the word in you.
Yes.
You put the word in you so that when you need to dip down for an answer, there's one there that comes up.
Yes.
You do what I did. Spend much time praying in other tongues.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
There are something, matter of fact, people that go through traumatic experiences, if they will pray much in other tongues, there will be a repair on their inner man and a restoration like you can't get any other way. Amen. I know people have been through divorces and stuff, and I don't know, maybe some of you have been in that situation. That will get you to the other side to where you don't walk through life looking like it, looking like you were just left.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with you. Hallelujah. Take things one at a time and get them settled.
Amen.
Settled. Would you go to one more verse with me today? One more scripture passage. And it's back over in John, but this time the 13th chapter. You guys just receiving so good. You're making me preach longer than I thought I would. But we're closing up. We're closing it up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, why do we take this kind of time to go through the Word and to preach like this? So you can do it. Matter of fact, this was all a waste of time if y'all don't put it to practice in your life, but I know you will. And for many of you, you've heard these things, so I know we're not planting new seed. We're just watering stuff that your pastors have already been put in you. And I can't tell you what a joy it is as you're turning, and I'm turning, to minister in a place where there's already a great foundation. Just makes it so easy. And so congratulations on having a great church and great pastor, you know.
Amen.
It's just obvious. It's real obvious. John chapter 13. Verse 21. Now, remember Jesus was the one that said, don't let your heart be troubled, wasn't he? Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was what? He was troubled where?
In spirit.
In spirit, which is the same thing as your heart. Did Jesus have a troubled heart?
All right.
Y'all saying no? Some are saying yes. This says he did. I said, this says he did.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. He was troubled in spirit. Friends, if he couldn't prevent trouble from coming to him, you're not going to be able to prevent trouble from coming to you. But it's how you deal with it. And it's and be sure that you do deal with it. And let's see how he dealt with it. He was troubled in spirit. He testified and said, verily, verily, I say to you, one of you shall betray me. How many know that would be trouble? I mean, you already know you're going to go to the cross and have to endure that. And you're trying to invest into your disciples. And then one of them there is about to give you to turn you in.
Yes, sir.
That'd trouble me too. The disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. I'm going to just read this a little quick. There was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him.
Yeah.
Then look what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, what you do or that thou doest, do it quickly.
Yeah.
Do it quickly.
Yeah.
And verse 30 says, having received the sop, he went immediately out and it was night. Jesus got this situation taken care of, didn't he?
Yes.
If he didn't want to deal with it, then he shouldn't have brought it up.
Listen now.
He shouldn't have brought it up. He was troubled, and he said, one of y'all, one of y'all's not with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He got it settled. He got it dealt with. And he said, go do your thing then, boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next verse. Therefore, when he was going out, when who was going out?
Judas.
The rascal.
Yeah.
Judas. When he was gone out, Jesus said, and I just like this next verse, now is the Son of God, the Son of Man glorified, God's glorified, amen. Here's the point. Jesus got this thing taken care of, and he said, now. And when I read that, it almost seemed like a sigh of relief. We got that done. Now.
Now
what? Now let's move on. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Now we can make progress. Now we can move on. There's stuff, friends, that you would move on to if you'd get that one thing taken, if you'd get that thing settled.
Yeah.
Get it settled on the inside. And then you'll be like, now. There's been things where I drug my feet on. I could sense that things weren't right on the inside about a certain situation or that situation. And it was taking long. And then there's other things that I'm needing the Lord to do with me. And that's not coming to pass. And finally, I get quiet. Finally, I deal with that thing. And then I'll hear the Lord say, good, now. Now. Why? Because the Lord's not going to pile up a bunch of stuff on you. That's what the devil does. Paul, the Apostle Paul had everybody's going to have stuff come against them trouble them.
Yeah.
Paul had it too.
Yeah.
I mean, he had all those churches that were under him. But there was one situation where he said, I had no rest in my spirit until I found Titus. He said, so I left what I was doing to go find him.
Yeah.
What was he doing? Get it settled.
Yeah.
Get it taken care of.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's other stuff that you need to do. So he could say, now.
Yeah.
Church, you and different things in your life, there are things, no doubt, where you've had a troubled spirit at one time or another, and maybe some of you are dealing with stuff now. Get it settled. Why? Because there are things to move on to.
Yes.
And friends, they are good things. They are good things. And here's what I'll leave you with, and this will make you happy. That if you can get past having a troubled heart, and if you can get to where your heart is settled, not troubled, you will be in wonderful position to see and know when God troubles the waters. Yeah. And then He'll be able to lead you into the stuff He's got for you. Amen. You'll be blessed. Why don't you stand up with me today? Just lift your hands and thank God. I've gone long enough. But you're so easy to preach to, man. We could just keep at it, but that's enough. Father, thank You for Your word today. We just honor You. We praise You, magnify You. Hallelujah. We love You. We love You. We love You. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, we have gone a good while. That's all right. Can I sing a song before we go? Have a seat then, everybody. You got to get me a handheld, though. Yes, sir. Check, check, check. Does this work good? You know, I was preparing this message, and we'll just sing this and turn it over to the pastor. But I was preparing this, and I realized the Lord had given me a song some time ago just right along these lines. And I have it recorded. Incidentally, if it's okay to say so, somewhere in the church there's a table that we have. I have music CDs on that table. Three of the CDs are called Songs for a Move of God, and they're all Holy Ghost given songs that the Lord gave me. And wherever that table is, you probably all know, but those are available. They're $15 each out there. And if you want to use your mom and dad's MasterCard and Visa or Discover or anything, then we do take those as well. But we're just going to minister this to you, turn it back to the pastor. And are we ready to go here? All righty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody shout hallelujah this morning. You're my answer. You're my help. And I don't need to look anywhere else. It doesn't matter what others might say, 'cause my heart's settled, I will not be moved away. You can learn that and sing it. You're my answer, and You're my help. Well, I don't need to look anywhere else, 'cause it doesn't matter what others might say. My heart's settled, I will not be moved away. Now listen to this part. If doubts arise, and you know they will, if you get tempted to change even a little, remember that Jesus and the Word will never change. And if you'll do what He said, it will be that way. 'Cause You're my answer, You're my help, and I don't need to look anywhere else, 'cause it doesn't matter what others might say. When my heart's settled, I will not be moved away. Listen. The enemy will try to get you out of faith. Just look at the problem, how bad it is, he'll say. But I am focusing only on one thing, what God has said about me. That's the only thing I'll say, 'cause You're my answer, Lord, You're my help. And I don't need to look anywhere else. It doesn't matter what others might say. My heart's settled, I will not be moved away. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Thank You. You're my answer, You're my help. I don't need to look anywhere else. It doesn't matter what others might say.
My heart's settled, I will not be moved away. Sing it with me this once more. You're my answer, you're my help. I don't need to look anywhere else. It doesn't matter what others might say. My heart's settled, I will not be moved away, no. It doesn't matter what others might say. My heart's settled, I will not be moved. I'm going to the other side with you. I know your word is true, so I won't doubt. I will trust in you. My answer, my help. I'm not looking anywhere else, 'cause I'm settled, I'm not moved away. Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Did you learn anything today? Boy, I tell you, God's word is rich. It is so rich. So often we get caught up with a lot of stuff that really is not important. Focus on the right thing. Amen. Focus on the right thing. Would you stand with me one more time? We're going to dismiss, and I want to let everybody know that as Reverend Joel said, where'd he go? He went through the curtain. Okay, he knows the shortcut. As he said, there is a table in the bookstore with his CDs on it. They're available. CDs will be available at today's service next door. We'll have them for you in about 5 minutes. And so after you dismiss, if you have children in the children's classes, please go get your kids. Then go to the bookstore and take advantage of the materials that are there. And then, if you would like, join us for some refreshments in the fellowship hall. We do that every week, unless it's a holiday like last week, Easter. But it's a great opportunity for you to connect with somebody. Are you glad you came to MGCC this morning? All right. Well, let's lift our hands. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your precious grace. Thank you because we understand that all of the answers to all of the things that we face are wrapped up in one name, Jesus. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his grace. We thank you for redemption. Father, help us to stay focused on the right thing, the most important thing, and that is him. And it begins with relationship. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never been born again, I want you to know that God loves you so much that Jesus would have died had you been the only person on the planet. But if you've never made him the Lord of your life and you'd like to do that this morning, I want to pray with you. Is there anybody in the house? If you have your hands raised, wave it at me. If you want to receive Jesus today, anybody in the house want to receive Jesus, wave your hand at me. Amen? All right. God bless you. Well, I want to pray a blessing upon each and every one of you and each and every family. But I want you to understand one thing. God loves you. He loves you more than you can imagine. And if we'll stay focused on him, we'll find all of the things that seem to batter us around or attempt to batter us around will just fade away. If we'll focus on that one important thing. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your people. I thank you because your hand's upon them to bless them and to make them a blessing. So thank you for your grace. Thank you for ministering to each one today. Thank you for lifting and encouraging hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we'll forever praise you and bless you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Have a super week.